Timbers will take on LAFC tomorrow on the road in Los Angeles. Kick at 7:30. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Adam Sussman leading you into the program with Aaron Heinsohn and Fletcher Johnson on the call. Let's bring in Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Brian, thank you for joining us, man. I appreciate you. How are you this week?
I'm fantastic, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I don't know if you've noticed, but this Portland Timbers team has become a little feisty over the last few days, especially coming back from World Cup break.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Velda, right? He's the type of guy that you absolutely despise playing against, but for some reason you absolutely love when he's on your team. And what I love about him is that from day one, there's a sense of urgency. I mean, there's the competitiveness and the urgency and the willingness to battle, but it's almost like he has to manufacture this moment of confrontation. Mm-hmm. But like, all right, bro, I'm going to take you. I'm going to eat you alive. I'm going to light your tail on fire for the next 70 minutes. So right now the rumors, or at least the whispers around Kelsey and whatever that looked like in the past 10 days. And then on top of that, Marty Cifuentes, the new manager, a couple of new faces, a couple of different ideas, and probably most importantly, an opportunity to compete. And I think in particular, you're seeing Ari Lassiter really thriving in this role that he's having right now in the run of the team. But yeah, it's a good time. And I think even in defeat on the road in Chicago, where there's obviously some mistakes, you're seeing a team that, whether it's physical rejuvenation or psychological rejuvenation, it seems as if the decision to move on from Phil Neville was the correct one for the Portland Timbers.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I want to go. Look, everybody loves Phil. Like, Phil is a great interview. He's really good with the media, especially with us locally. But it seemed like the course had run it, and it was time to kind of move on. When you look at Marty Cifuentes coming in, Jack Caston in the interim, is it a new coach bump that we see from time to time? Or do you think there's something about Jack and now Marty that has found something that maybe Phil couldn't unlock with some of these players?
Yeah, let me be very clear, because I get nervous in this conversation because sometimes I get accused of, the baby goes out with the bathwater when you make moves like this. Having been a player in this league and having played for God how many knows different managers, everybody does it differently. And that doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't mean it's bad. At the end of the day, these managers, much like Gio, will look back and have kind of this tenure of a time where we're like, yeah, I really liked him, but, or hey, man, incredible human being, but, it'll happen with Marty at some point down the line, right? I mean, look at what's happening with Pep Guardiola and Man City, and now we're getting to see behind the scenes with their new doc and everything that's happening with Enzo and all the now players kind of moving around. So it's never 100% perfect. There's always some type of adversity. It could be managing up or managing down. And the reality is that it's always going to be a struggle, because how do you keep your general manager and your ownership group happy, and at the same time keep in a group of players that are responsible for your livelihood as their coach, and setting a tone where everyone's equal and accountable, and you're all pulling in the same direction. After a certain amount of time, things get fractured, and there's decisions that need to be made, because it's easier to change the coach and the coaching staff than it is, on the long-term contracts and the depth of some of these rosters. So I think what I've always experienced as a player is that whether you're an absolute starter with a manager going out, or you are a fringe player that hasn't seen a lot of minutes, that's just super pissed off with your situation, at the end of the day, you're starting from scratch. And Jack's going to be the feel-good factor. It's going to be very simple. Come in, everybody's happy. Let's Roddy Raw, pat on the back, a little smack on the butt. But now Marty's got to set the tone. And whether you talk about experience in Hammarby, you talk about experience at QPR, you talk about experience at Leicester City, good, bad, ugly. The philosophy of Jordi Cruyff, the Cruyff disciple, and La Masia idea of Spanish Barcelona type football. All of these things mean new training habits, new expectations, new competition. And I think in midseason, a lot of the time, that's a really, really good thing, dependent upon if you have the right group and you pick the right players.
It's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. And Brian, I want to, you kind of teased a little bit that Kevin Kelce situation. You know, we don't want to speculate too much on it, but you're the Portland Timbers right now. You're sitting in ninth place. You're on 27 points. There's a lot of nice momentum going. The schedule is going to get tougher, but there are some nice spots in there. You're basically two wins out from hosting a playoff game. We don't know the full extent of the Brandon Bye injury. It looked bad. We can pray for the best, but it looked bad when I watched it the other night. The Kevin Kelce rumors. Look, you're already kind of thin at right back with Juan Mosquera out for the year. Pipe Mora has been moved on. How does a team like this approach a transfer window when you have an opportunity to maybe make some noise, but they might want to spend a bunch of money on one of your guys, but now you've lost depth somewhere else? How does this team navigate through this? If you're Ned Grabavoy, what are you trying to do?
Oh, you got to hope that you've had a laundry list and the communication and the relationships are already in play and you've done your due diligence, not only on the players that you're interested in, but as importantly, I think, going and talking to the strength and conditioning coach, go talk to the nutritionist, go talk to the rehab specialist, go talk to the team admin, because that's going to give you a much more realistic look at the person, not just the player. Because I think MLS has also jumped the shark. You know, gone are the days where you can just reach out to an agent and be like, give me your best player. Now you got to go into the details, and the devil is absolutely in the details, as you guys have seen up close and personal. Like, when you're bringing in a guy, is he married? Is he single? You know, what is there issues behind the scenes that we're unaware of? Is there a child being left behind in the country in which he's departing and coming? Like, you know, can he settle in quickly? You know, does he speak English? Does he not speak English? How do we have to help outside of the game? Because ultimately, the player's happiness and full focus is going to be the most important. And you want to bring good dudes into the locker room. And everyone's going to do it differently, right? I mean, it can't be much more apparent than Evander's departure and David DaCosta coming in. Two extraordinarily talented players, two players that are hybrids of the same position and yet drastically different with the way that they play. So all those things are challenging. If it's still the Ned that I know, he'll have an identifiable list of guys that are interested in. But in a similar aspect, and I can use Xavier Goso on Salt Lake, that was a surprise to get that deal done over the line, because at some point the money talks. Just did the game the other night in Colorado against LAFC, and Rafael Navajo, you know, you got a cryptic post and you got rumors around Vasco da Gama. So it's not just a Portland Timber, you know, Glasgow Ranger, social media whisper about Kevin Kelce. And I'm not surprised, right, with his player profile, his age, and right now on an absolute terror of a run in the last 3 months, that clubs around the world would be interested in his services. But you kind of point out to a really unique dynamic, and I think people are sometimes forgetting this is the last time this schedule is in play for Major League Soccer.
Yep.
It's going to change drastically, adjusting to the world's window in the sprint season, and then aligning with everything else. So, yeah, I'd be fascinated to be a fly in the wall in those conversations between Ned and his group and Merritt, and ultimately what the decisions are looking like. Because the reality is that while MLS is still nimble and growing, and players will always have the affinity for playing Tuesday and Wednesday night, which is Champions League football, which means you can't do that in South America, you can't do that in Africa, you can't do that over in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. That means you got to be on that European continent. And that means monopoly money could be at your doorstep for a couple of your players, and that could significantly disrupt what you're trying to do. And maybe that's the brilliance in signing Vincent Janssen, the moment that they did.
Brian, let's flip this to the Timbers' opponent, LAFC. A very vocal fan base these days.
Very angry fan base.
Very angry fan base. High expectations in LAFC. I mean, they're kind of one of the diamond clubs. We get a little lucky up here in Portland, despite being a small market club. Merritt Paulson has always strove for excellence up here. Things have turned for them a little sour. What is it that when you see them, because you said you had their game against Colorado, what is it that you're seeing from them that is creating such struggles? Because on paper, this team's kind of loaded.
Yeah, it's really been the last two games. Tio Max and I, Max Bredos, Uncle Max is what I call him.
That's okay. We love Max here. Like, Max is an awesome friend of this program.
He's such a good dude, man. Let's talk about salt of the earth. Just a side note, I've called over 1,000 games with Max from the days of the old Fox Soccer Channel.
Yes.
And I am the luckiest guy in the business that Maxie and I are best friends. We love hanging out. We love our time in Portland. We love just the city and the atmosphere of the stadium. We love heading up there. Anyways, I digress. We've done the last couple of LAFC games. You know, we did the RSL game where they smashed them down at home. We did the Chivas game where I thought they were excellent. Then we did the San Diego game a week ago. And, man, San Diego did to LAFC at BMO Stadium what LAFC is used to doing to virtually everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then you go to Colorado, and it's kind of similar, where it's like transition. It's defending strong, but, you know, transition moments, Danny Belonga, Sung Hyung Man, blah, blah, blah. There's a couple things at play. I think when you look back at that Colorado game, Colorado didn't participate in Leagues Cup, so they've only played four games. LAFC was playing their eighth game. There's rotation. There's expectation. They fell up short, like Portland, in advancing in the Leagues Cup. And so all of a sudden, on top of that, you combine that with, you know, kind of John Thorington and Mark Dos Santos doubling down on the idea of distancing themselves from the style of play underneath Steve Cherundolo was exceptionally successful. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden saying, well, we want the ball. We want to be the team that takes it to the opponents. Well, when you say that, that's music to the ears of the LAC supporters. But when San Diego has 70% possession in the first half and has created many goal-scoring opportunities, all of a sudden there's like that sense of urgency where it's like, well, are we just going to sit and absorb and try to keep a clean sheet and just transition? Or are we good enough to actually move teams around? And a lot of that has to do with the press and the front three, and are you defending zones or you really attacking the ball, all of these things. So, yeah, right now it's a turbulent time online. Social, it is aggressive. Oof. And LAFC is in dire need of putting in a really strong performance at home. I don't think the lineup will look – well, I mean, they started Obobese, they started Schaffelberg, and they started Boyd at Colorado. That was a clear indication that fatigue, both mental and physical, was an issue for Mark Dos Santos and LAFC the other night. But I expect, you know, full strength, and hopefully sooner rather than later they get Igor Jesus back in the mix after he showed as a defensive midfielder. He was one of the best in MLS, and they need to get him back on track after recovering from this ACL injury.
It's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Brian, I'll ask you one more question and let you get out of here. I know you got a busy day in front of you. Looking around at the rest of Cascadia, you know how near and dear this rivalry is to us up here. Boy, how things change real quickly when you get out of the World Cup, huh? Vancouver now living in a life of post-Sebastian Berhalter, which despite Vancouver being a rival of the Portland Timbers, I was really excited about the future Berhalter in the MLS. And then the other reality is what's going on in Seattle. Look, LA fans might be as mad as they are about LAFC. They sit in third place on the table. The Sounders have lost eight in a row and look just lost. What can you tell us about what's going on up there, because I can't even describe it anymore.
Yeah, I'll start with Seattle. listen, I they might not want to hear this. This is probably music to Portland fans' ears. The reality is they're not the same club that was spending money on Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey and Nico Ladero and Raul Ruiz Diaz. It's a different team. And Garth and Adrian at the time were spending money, COVID. Obviously, the acquisition of the Reign, you've built an outstanding training facility. And in the midst of, and this is more a bigger conversation, but in the midst of, you know, expansion slowing down, I think the next phase is multi-billion dollar investment with multi-billion dollar owners. I mean, out here in Salt Lake, I've watched four different billionaires own a piece of Real Salt Lake over the past 6 years. Four primary occupant owners, you know, from Deloy Hansen to David Blitzer to Ryan Smith, who now divested and went and took over the Mammoth and has the Jazz, and now the Miller Sports Entertainment Group. That's the future. I mean, that's just what it is. It's monopoly money being spent. So for Craig Weibel, the challenge is to build the best, quote-unquote, and I use this terminology lovingly, the best U.S. men's national team January camp you possibly can. And that meant going out and getting Jesus Ferreira and Paul Arriola and continuing to lean into the development. Obed's obviously a big loss, you know, and I don't know how deep you want to get into, you know, guys like Georgie Manungo or Josh Atencio or even those type of guys, but they've had to do their business differently. And then they're just unfortunately bit by a horrific injury bug, unlike anything I've ever seen. So the inability to go in and invest significant sums of money in your roster. Pedro de la Vega, perpetually injured. I feel horrible for that kid. He just can't even get on the field to stay fit. And then the run of form right now is as historic and horrific for Brian Smetzer as we've ever seen. So it's difficult to see them getting back on track, but if they get healthy, this is also the same team that was undefeated first six games of the season. To your point about Sebastian Berhalter, I'm unapologetic. I love him.
Yeah,
I think
too.
I'm so unlike Michael Bradley, who for some reason never got the respect he deserved, in my humble opinion. And it could have been a Bob thing. It could have been an idea of nepotism, whatever. The fact that Sebastian has completely divested and shed any conversations about his dad, either as a player or as national team manager, I think is brilliant. He's a great kid. He's an even better player. And Vancouver seems to be a great landing spot for a lot of guys in their second or third opportunity to kind of renegotiate the way that we look at them being as players. So huge, huge loss. I think Jasper said something along the lines of, it's not about the physical side because he created his own engine room. It's more about the mentality that he brought every day. And I think sometimes that's very, very, very difficult. That becomes a very interesting leadership and, performance power vacuum that is sometimes hard to recreate over the course of the middle of the season.
Yeah, Sebastian in that famous Belgium loss, a lot of lack of effort in that game, not from that kid. He'll be missed in MLS for sure, but Hopefully we see him in a USA uniform. He's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. Say hi to Max for us, and a little bit of news and notes being reported from the local media that Brandon Bye has, in fact, torn his ACL.
Yeah, it looked
anything.
Like it.
It looked bad.
That
non-contact stuff's always bad. Well, thanks, Brian. Yeah. Again, give Max our love. We love him and you guys as well, and have a great weekend, okay?
Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy. That's Brian Dunseth of MLS Apple TV. A lot to digest from that. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back on the clock. We'll kind of react to some of that more next on 105.1, your home of the Portland Timbers, The Fan.